Well, what if in just 10 minutes a week, you could help your experience of Sunday Mass more fully deepen your love of the Word of God? And what if in that same resource, you could also challenge your life to live more deeply every single day? Well, the Bible geek, Mart Hark, makes that possible with One Sunday at a Time, the essential companion to the Sunday readings, the ideal resource for busy Catholics just like him who want to get more out of Mass. Good morning, Mark. Thanks so much for joining the show again.
Well, thanks so much for having me again. I appreciate it.
Well, Mark, you first introduced us to your family in your book, Our Not Quite Holy Family. Before we start about your new book, can you share with our listeners kind of how you help your younger kids experience this Advent time, focus them on the true meaning of Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously, you know, everyone has different takes on when we should start celebrating Christmas during, you know, the Advent season. And you know, you get every answer on the spectrum. My wife and I firmly believe that, you know what, to help your kids really enter into the season, really prepare themselves for the miracle, the incarnation, that we have to be really intentional, you know, so to be able to, sure, to change up maybe your usual prayer routines, you know, there's a wisdom to the church and liturgical seasons, you know, and calling us, I mean, it's more than just changing out the colors at Mass or changing the music, but to be able to say, hey, this is a great opportunity for a few weeks to change what we do in prayer as a family, to be more intentional, beyond just lighting the Advent wreath, but to be able to sit back and have those conversations about, can you imagine, I mean, like what Mary was feeling, you know, can you imagine what Joseph was feeling? Mm. Can you imagine what the shepherds felt when, you know, the angels are talking to them and not the really important, not the really rich, not the really popular people? Just to be able to put yourself in, you know, St. Francis in 1223 in Assisi, Italy, gave the world its first creche, the first nativity set.
Right.
And it was actually in the middle of town, as you probably know, and it was living actors, live animals, and the idea behind it, his idea was, if we can set this up and people see it, they witness it, they'll be able to see it as a living, breathing event, not just some historical event. They'd be able to put themselves into the story, to find themselves in the story. And that really is the challenge of any parent as the primary catechist, is how do I help my kids understand that they're a living character in God's story, that this is not just about a person who lived 2,000 years ago, but it's about a person who keeps crashing into my existence every day, not just on December 25th.
Oh, Mark, I love what you're saying there. That creche is such a beautiful symbol of the Advent season. Just my own kids growing up in the house, we had a creche that the baby Jesus was removable, and he never showed up into that creche until Christmas morning. And now that I have grown children, well, they come to expect the fact that, well, we can't put baby Jesus in there yet. He's not been born.
Well, you know, we did this. We had the same tradition in my house, but a couple years ago, my now 9-year-old decided he didn't like the empty manger. So while Jesus didn't show up until the 25th, Spider-Man did.
Oh.
We had to have a conversation. But it's okay.
That's
it's okay.
All right. There are lots of things that can that hold that place, right? Those things that just really bring excitement to our kids' lives. Mark Hart is joining us today. We're talking about his new book, One Sunday at a Time. Mark, another one of your names, the Bible Geek. Oh, I love
yes.
that. You know, some might say, you know, this 2,000-year-old book, some maybe even a little longer than that, titled The Bible, maybe just a little antiquated. Some might say, kind of boring. You, on the other hand, get really excited about it. What about Scripture that you find exciting? It's the same book that we read year after year.
You know, and it's such a great question, and it's a question I think more people need to ask, so I'm so glad you asked it. You know, the beauty of Scripture is that it's inexhaustible, that you can read a passage in the morning during morning prayer, and it's going to say one thing to you, and then you read that passage later on at night, and the Lord's trying to reveal something else to you after you've had a good day or a bad day or a boring day. I mean, you're going to read a passage, you know, when you're 16, and it's going to, in the same timeless wisdom, is going to mean something completely different to you when you're 45 or when you're 75. That's why the Word of God is so inexhaustible. It's so perfect. It's inspired. And quite, I mean, obviously, the Gospels are the central part of the entire Scriptures, but when you read it and you see that, I mean, these are words, this is 73 books written over 1,700 years by 45 plus authors, yet they're still timeless wisdom. It's never dated. It's never old. And even the church in her cycle of Sunday readings, you know, we hear the same readings every 3 years. You might hear the Transfiguration, you know, 3 times in a year, depending upon which year you're in. And you know what? There's always something new to glean from it. If we have open minds and open hearts, and we give the Holy Spirit, the author, the primary author of Scripture is the Holy Spirit, give the author permission to open our minds and hearts and speak a new truth to us, speak a new reality to us, a new perspective to us. And this is why it's such a bonus, not only having the Bible, which the Catholic Church compiled, but then also having the catechism, having the wisdom of the saints, the great writings of the doctors of the church to help us, and the church herself, to help ensure that we're reading it properly and in the right context.
Well, Mark, for a Bible geek like yourself, in writing this book, did it help you focus in a new way, the way that you see Sunday readings?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and anyone who's ever been trapped in the back of a church or in a cry room with a crying child, or, you know, in the back, you know, holding the demoniac who's losing their mind, you know when you have the littles that oftentimes you miss part of the readings. You can't hear it over the crying or over the noise, or even if they're sitting next to you, just over the busyness. And then really, it's often our experience of liturgy of the word is dependent upon whether or not the lector really practiced. Our experience of liturgy of the word is how good the homily is, which is really an unfair thing to put on the priest because he can't hit a home run every single week. And my thought, my contention was, if we could read the readings in the other 167 hours we have each week outside of Sunday Mass, read them ahead of time so we know what to listen for. And if there was something, some sort of a companion, some sort of a guide to help me understand this agricultural, reference that Jesus uses, or help me understand why this town or this person is so significant in the first reading, or what St. Paul's getting at in the second reading, because he's really smart and he doesn't use a lot of commas and he has big, long, dense theological sentences. If there's something to help me get more out of the readings ahead of time, now I know what to listen for. Now, when I show up to Mass, it's not the first time I've heard it. Now I'm not pinning all my hopes on the homily. Now I can get something out of the first half. And that was really the idea behind One Sunday at a Time. I said to myself, okay, now I've done years of study and I've gotten to learn a lot from master teachers. If I could do something that for the average man or woman, they could read over a cup of coffee, over a glass of wine, they could do on their own, they could do with their spouse, they could do with a women's group, a men's group, they could do with a group of the parish, something to help them enter into the readings each week. Well, now the whole first half of Mass comes to life in our life.
I absolutely love it. Well, as you just said, Mark, your new book is One Sunday at a Time, Preparing Your Heart for Weekly Mass, a Companion to Cycle A. So we know that our Sunday readings are broken into these three-year cycles. What is unique, maybe, that you can point out for our listeners about this cycle that we just entered into, Cycle A? Or do they all just kind of run along the same themes that we're picking out, just kind of a variety of books from the Bible that we just read over 3 years?
No, certainly not. So Cycle A, it focuses on St. Matthew's Gospel. So over the span of the 52 liturgical weeks, we're going to hear from St. Matthew upwards of 47 times in that 52 weeks. So knowing what to listen for really does go a long way. Matthew is one of the original 12 apostles. Matthew is a Jew writing to Jews about a Jew who claims to be the king of the Jews, who the Jews conspired to have killed. Why is this so important? Because Matthew is going to lean heavily on Jewish history. He's going to talk about the kingdom of God. He's going to talk about the royal line of David, because David was the great warrior king, of which Jesus falls in that family line because of his relationship with St. Joseph. He's going to talk about Jesus came to institute a kingdom. He's going to give Jesus the keys to the kingdom the same way that the king did to the prime minister way back in the Old Testament. There are so many allusions over the course of those 47, 48 weeks to Jewish culture and Jewish history. If we don't know what to listen for, we miss half of what he's trying to say. The depth of the gospel is like an iceberg. It's always beneath the surface. We just have to understand what to listen for, and all of a sudden, the stars turn into constellations, and the dots start to connect.
Mark Hart is joining me today. We're talking about his new book, One Sunday at a Time, Preparing Your Heart for Weekly Mass. Mark, this has been a fascinating conversation. I've loved it so much. I am coming up against my break. Can you stay with me through the break so we can continue our discussion in the next half hour?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I am continuing now my discussion with the wonderful Bible geek, Mark Hart. His new book is One Sunday at a Time, Preparing Your Heart for Weekly Mass. It is a companion to Cycle A. Mark is staying with me so we can have more of a great discussion. Good morning, Mark. Thanks for staying with me.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, let's break open this book because it is a wonderful resource to use every single week. Now, each Sunday, we hear four scripture writings, the Old Testament, we have a psalm, then there's the New Testament writing, followed by the gospel. So are all of these texts organized together each Sunday that bring forward a specific theme in your book?
Yes. So what we see in the wisdom of the church is that if you listen closely to the readings, usually the first reading in the gospel have a common thread, or a common strand that runs through them. So those are usually pretty apparent, if you're listening, about how the Old Testament and the first reading is setting up the gospel reading. And then what happens is the church will select a second reading, often from St. Paul, not always, but often. That second reading is going to draw the theme a little bit further and say, how is this theme lived out as a Christian, lived out in the Christian life? And then the psalm sometimes is overtly connected, sometimes it's more subtle, but the psalm is also going to extract that same theme. But the church groups these readings together on purpose, and then they correlate to the liturgical season that we're in, whether it's Advent or Christmas, ordinary time, Lent, you know, Easter. So really, there's an ebb and a flow, and there's a season for everything. And then the church arranges it into a three-year cycle. So as we said, this is cycle A, as we'll hear from St. Matthew. And then next year, we'll head into cycle B, which is mainly the Gospel of Mark, but a lot of St. John. And then cycle C is St. Luke, and then we repeat again. But what's beautiful and genius about it is that the church, in her wisdom, if you were to go to daily Mass and Sunday Mass every day, in the course of 3 years, you would hear about 80% of the Bible proclaimed, which is really amazing if you think about it.
Wow. That is incredible. Well, if you want to deepen your knowledge and faith in Cycle A readings, well, you're going to want to get one Sunday at a time. Its author, Mark Hart, is joining me today. Well, it's a wonderful book, and I'm going to ask you to break this down a little bit because there's a lot of practical information in it, and it's just set up in such a way, as you said, you can just do it in a few minutes every week. So let our listeners know how you break down each Sunday in your book.
That's the idea. So you can do this on your own with a prayer journal. You can go to adoration. You can just sit on your couch. You can do this if you have a spouse. You can do it with your family. You can do it with a women's group, a men's group, Bible study group, whatever it is, faith sharing, fellowship, small groups. So the idea is you'll start every week. There's about 3 or 4 pages per week. It'll take you 10 minutes to read. You have an opening prayer and then the citations for the readings. So you can read the readings out of your own Bible. You can earmark them, dog ear them, highlight them, underline them, whatever you want to do. And then it has a sort of a behind the scenes. This is 3 or 4 paragraphs. This explains this is what to listen for. This is the common theme that's running through these. Pay attention to these motifs. Pay attention to these ideas, right? Then I have a behind. Then I have a behind the scenes. We have wordplay. We have to go a little step further. And this is a place in these sections where if there's a really random, maybe agrarian reference, right? You were never raised on a farm. If there's a reference to a city that's long gone that you can't find on a map anymore, or maybe what this word means, or this reference means, or what this name means, some background information that takes the readings and goes a little bit deeper to lift the veil from our eyes so we can see what the writer was really trying to say, what the Holy Spirit was really trying to communicate. And then there are some journal or discussion questions. So if you're doing it on your own, 2 or 3 questions you can journal about to help deepen your own walk, your own daily walk in prayer life, or you can have a discussion with a group or a loved one. And then there's a closing challenge for the week. And this is just something very small, very simple, very doable, very practical for any age. How can I take this theme? How can I take what the Lord's revealing to me this week and live it out in a practical way Monday to the following Sunday?
Well, Mark, let's talk about that part of the book. I believe that Christ absolutely 100% present in the church. Sometimes, though, I'm not so sure that he's in the parking lot when everyone is leaving. While we might let somebody step in front of us to go to communion, yeah, that same person we're going to cut off so we can get out of that parking lot faster. So what are some of the challenges then in your book that help the reader live their faith beyond the walls of Sunday Mass?
It can be something as simple as being more thoughtful in our words of affirmation, right? So this week, instead of just praying for somebody, reach out and pray with somebody. Hey, this week, instead of just, thinking a nice thought about that person, take the time to drop them a text, to drop them a little note. Take the time to actually affirm them. Hey, this week, you know what? If you're accustomed to not praying in the morning, hey, set your alarm 10 minutes earlier and get up and offer, an Our Father, a Hail Mary, a Glory Be. These aren't exorbitant challenges. They aren't heavy lifting. Anyone could do them. But the idea is if we can become more thoughtful about what we heard on Sunday and live them out Monday through Saturday, that's where it goes from orthodoxy to orthopraxy. That's where we really start to live and breathe our faith instead of just putting our faith in a box we pull off the shelf for an hour every Sunday.
Well, the name of the book that you can use every single week of this new liturgical year is One Sunday at a Time, Preparing Your Heart for Weekly Mass, a Companion to Cycle A. Well, here's Cycle A. Mark, is there going to be a Cycle B and Cycle C companion?
Well, that is the hope. I've been the wonderful people at Ave Maria Press, they did a great job on this book. Really loved the layout, the feel of it. It's just it's just such a wonderful resource. So I'm thankful to them. And we have been talking, and I am starting to work on Cycle B as we speak. So while I'll be listening to Cycle A with the rest of my brothers and sisters, I'll be working hard on Cycle B.
Well, we definitely look forward to that. Mark, before we go, so remind our listeners again where they can get a copy of the book themselves and actually learn more about you, too, because you've got a lot of great resources and talks available.
I appreciate that. Yeah, you can find a book at AveMariaPress.com or Amazon.com or any Catholic bookstore, any fine Catholic books are sold. And if you want to find me, you can find me at BibleGeek.com. That there are free videos, there's blogs, and I'll send you also to my social media so we can connect.
Oh, I love it. Anybody willing to refer to themselves as a geek? Well, that is my kind of person for sure. Mark, oh, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day. God bless you.
God bless you, too. And again, that is Mark Hart. So the name of that book, One Sunday at a Time, Preparing Your Heart for Weekly Mass. I will be sure to add the links that Mark talked about where you can get a copy and also where you can find his resources. You're going to find those links on the podcast of this interview, materdeiradio.com, and the Hail Mary Media app.